Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Let's get to D'Amico Ryans. He was happy with his team's performance yesterday, particularly the second half, where they shut out the Cowboys, won that half, 17-0. And he talked about what they can be when they play like that in the second half of ball games.
The way we play in the second half is just for our entire team to understand that we finish the way we finish in the second half, hold the team out of the end zone, and we're able to put more points on the board. Like, we can play with anybody.
I'm listening to the coach, and I want to take that at face value and go, you know what, you're right. You can play with anybody if you play like that. But I think the opponent matters. We've seen them be incapable of playing like that against better football teams. Against the Cowboys, you can play like that. Against the Titans, you probably can play like that. Against the Jags, you can play like that. So I hope this is the start of something where they can week after week be dominant in the second half. But opponent matters. The guys on the other side matter. And right now, I would say, if not for the Bills game, you could probably call the Texans lamb killers. But they do have that Bills game to fall back on. By the way, a game where they did not play good football in the second half, but they were good enough in the first half to find a way through. Their point differential is now plus 22, I think. You think about that. That includes two blowouts. The Patriots by 20. Was that 41-21 that game in New England? And then last night they won by 24. So you have two games on your schedule where you won by a combined 45 points. And your point differential as a 7-4 team is just plus 22. If I have those numbers right. So I think we have to say you can be dominant and play with anyone is up for debate. Go out and prove it. Not that it can really be done the next couple weeks. A couple lambs are coming in as well. You got a couple lambs to play. The Titans and the Jags.
Yeah. That's where the Texans are for the next 2 weeks and last week. It's just you really can't do anything to
disprove anything anyone has to say about you.
No. Like, even if they go out there and Detroit Lions, the Titans and Jags.
Well, if it's the Jags, well, the Lions did it first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Like, there's no, I don't know. There's not really huge, like, there's small positives, I guess.
Yeah, if you're off the line, keep CJ clean, Nico gets more snaps in, and he plays well and stays healthy. There are things you can take from each game, like the small things. And that's kind of the danger of a full season and what we think of them and what they could be. And then we're trying to talk about one game. You start to bring in, like, the macro stuff about or what they can be overall when they did just play a game on Monday and they reacted like it was a big win. If you go by how they reacted in the locker room, Joe Mixon was on Instagram Live again playing "Come in Your Trap, Take Over Your Trap." That song got played again. So the Texans themselves, and you would think this would be the case, they are reacting like they got a big win.
Has there been a road win by a team this football season where they didn't play "Walk Into Your Trap, Take Over Your Trap" in the locker room?
It's had to have happened. Sure. I'm trying to think. If the Chiefs walk into Las Vegas and win a game, are they playing that song?
Well, yeah, because they had to do it for Patrick Mahomes after they disrespected the Kermit thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if they've gone to Las Vegas yet. I just threw out an AFC West team.
But they're like, F those guys.
It's the song. It's not even a new song, but it's the song of road teams getting wins in, mm-hmm. in other
Walking
people's buildings.
The trap and
take over the trap. When Kirk Cousins is quoting it,
yeah,
maybe Joe Mixon pick a different song. If Kirk Cousins is in on it,
if Kirk
on the
Cousins
vibe.
Beat you to this one,
yeah, I he didn't because they did in Week One.
Oh,
but
yeah, that's right.
Against the
Colts. I forgot they have a road win this season, so obviously they already played.
They've
already
yes, going by what you have said, they've already done this. This is the first time they've done this. Yeah. And it's true. Joe Mixon did it.
Do you think they played it in New England after they went into Foxborough and won?
See, this is I have inclinations, and I look at the game yesterday. I was like, yeah, but it's the Cowboys. Well, you're doing a lot of celebrating for beating the Cowboys. This is my Lazy J. What you want to have a parade for beating the Cowboys? I was going to agree with him until he started talking all the other stuff. Like, I had that first – that was my first set. All right, there's a lot of taunting of this terrible football team you guys are doing. But according to Titus Howard after the game, he said those guys are talking crazy, saying the Texans were little bro. I mean, if that's the energy the Cowboys are giving you, then okay. If you want to do the too small thing when you hop over a guy trying to tackle you futilely when you're getting into the end zone, fine. You want to do that? I didn't know that was the energy the Cowboys were given. I know before the year – when they had Dak and they thought they were going to be pretty good, Michael Parsons was talking about talking like that. But when you're what you are, that's still what you're talking about. You know Cooper Rush is your quarterback, right? How confident can you be in winning this game? What are you talking about?
They just point at number 10. They're like, that guy.
Yeah. If I was a Cowboy, I'd be like, look, I know he said a lot of things in the last couple weeks, at least like the first couple weeks of the year talking to you guys, but it's different now. Cooper's our quarterback. We don't feel that
things
way anymore.
Happen. Life happens.
Yeah, things have happened. We're not as good. We're clearly not as good. But I said, Texans, relax. But then the Cowboys are talking that way. I guess you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, especially when you walk into their trap and take over the trap with the piece of the roof falling off.
Yeah.
By the way.
Much like a trap house.
By the way, someone on that field, be better. Take the charge.
See, this is a joke you're making, but we had a more morbid discussion in the morning. If someone was killed, are they playing that game? Or does it matter what person was killed?
It matters. That's my first reaction, is that it matters.
So if it's a non-player but team personnel, the game keeps going? If it, I know the broadcast talked about how it was close to one of their producers. If it's an
game happens.
So the people broadcasting the game are suffering through a tragedy, but the game keeps going and the game stays on TV?
Yeah.
You think Troy Aikman and Joe Buck would have been able to push that aside and go, hey, we're going to call the game here?
How close were they to that ESPN person that almost got smushed?
They're all a family, Sean.
Was it a Monday Night Countdown? No, but it could have been Monday Night Countdown.
So if it's
not someone that they work with
so
on Monday
Jason
Night Football.
So if it's Jason Kelsey, they're okay?
No, Jason Kelsey, game doesn't happen.
Wait, why? If a on-air personality for Monday Night Countdown is hit.
Oh, I thought you meant like a producer or something.
That's what I said. He said a producer.
Yeah, so I was thinking a producer.
Why would Jason Kelsey stop the game from happening?
Because he's Jason Kelsey.
So what? He doesn't affect how the game goes.
Yeah, but he's a former NFL. He's on every commercial. Don't you see? They can't have a dead man on every commercial.
They have to pull all the commercials.
Yeah.
So,
but if it's Monday Night Countdown,
the Mates version
of me,
okay,
the game's happening.
It is not an NFL personnel. It's not NFL personnel. Not us. Not someone who works for the Cowboys or the Texans. Probably
I think it's a coin
or even for
too.
The stadium.
If it's like a security guard,
well, they're playing the game. Jerry don't care.
So yeah. If it's stadium,
they considered playing the game when DeMar Hamlin had to be resuscitated.
I was gonna say,
and then they realized we can't play this game.
That's why I feel very comfortable saying that if it's just a random producer that dies, they'll play. But if
I can't disagree.
If it's
I would
Scott
like to,
Van
but I
Pelt,
can't.
Game doesn't happen.
Why Scott Van Pelt? He doesn't affect the game. Who cares? I was gonna say who cares, but I'm not gonna say that.
Come on,
that's not what I mean.
Come on,
that's not what I mean. But if we're doing this thing, why would Scott Van Pelt stop the game from happening?
Because he's more important.
But he has nothing to do with the game. In fact, comes on after the game.
Who's going
to
host SVP now?
If we're going by what Charles Barkley thinks, they'll just pull Stephen A. Smith out from where he's from and do it. We played that song yesterday of Charles Barkley talking about, I've never worked for ESPN. I'm on ESPN News, ESPN Deportes. They got me speaking Spanish. Now that inside the NBA, we'll have a licensing agreement with ESPN. They will just pull someone out. What's Dan Verrett doing? Is he still on that network?
But they have to get him to to Dallas.
I mean, they got Jason Kelsey.
Nah,
he can host.
Nah.
They had Stanford Steve on site, right?
Oh, they could just move Steve over one spot.
Just another bald man for another.
I think on air ESPN person.
I don't think
no go.
I don't think that stops the game. Really? Why would that?
Lisa Salters gets smushed, and you think game keeps going.
There are certain elements. There are certain things that I can't talk about on the air. I'll discuss with you off there why I think that game would end at the moment if that happened to her. But I don't want to get into it. Some things I say for myself. Okay. You know what I wouldn't say for myself? Price picks.
No, you wouldn't. This is a tough transition. I don't know if price picks had more or less than half a...
You're making it tougher, by the way.
Half a panel of AT&T Stadium falling on the field. I don't think they did that. They normally just keep it to players playing in the game, and that's why they're America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And they have specials all the time. Today is Tuesday. It is a Taco Tuesday where they'll have discounted player projections to make winning a little bit easier. I was playing this weekend, and I drove home from Louisiana right before the Sunday night game. I wanted to get a little prize picks on. And so just there on my couch, Sunday night football, Carrie Underwood singing, I was able to put together a lineup that won me five times my money. And that is how easy it is on prize picks. You just have to sit there and go, I think Justin Herbert will go more than his passing projection. I think that Chase Brown will go more than his rushing projection. And I think that Alperen Şengün will go more on his, I think it was points and rebounds projection. And just like that, you can win some money too. All you do is you go to Prize Picks on your app store. You download the app. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5.
Inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
So the Texans game threw me off track a little bit. We got to get to the misery index. But first, speaking of misery, hit the horn, Sean. One more time. I only asked him to do it one more time because the Jets said, hey, firing Robert Saleh wasn't enough. Let's get Joe Douglas out of here, too. GM Joe Douglas out. Fired by the Jets. So Aaron Rodgers, in the wake of signing him, the disaster continues to to build. Gosh, who would have thought handing your franchise over to a 40-something-year-old with diminishing skills would be a problem? So Hackett demoted, Saleh fired, Joe Douglas fired. They thought bringing Aaron Rodgers would save their careers, at least as Jets. Nah, just sped it up, sped up the demise.
Is anyone better off? Olbrich?
Well, his name may be Mud if the way this season's going. I don't know if they'll lose out.
Win over the Texans. He can hang his hat on.
Yeah, true. True, which is just speaks. So what the hell is wrong with the Texans? That this team, the only thing they've done positive is beat you. And their GM got fired. They got beat by the Patriots. They got beat by the Colts this past Sunday. Golly, what a bad loss on Thursday Night Football. But maybe you just chalk that up to Thursday night. But if we remember back, the Jets wanted to give you that game too. You just couldn't take advantage, and they just woke up for a quarter and a half and beat you. So that's in the past. We got a win to talk about and enjoy, I guess. But Joe Douglas out. Not surprising, but the Jets are going to be looking for a new head coach, a new general manager, and if they keep losing like they should, a new quarterback. You can't go into next year with Aaron Rodgers. And that's the end of my sentence. Not Aaron Rodgers without a quarterback, a young quarterback to develop. You can't go into next year with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know. Just give it another shot.
If you hate the Jets, sure. Which I don't know why I'm hoping they don't get rid of him.
Maybe add Randall Cobb.
They've had Randall Cobb.
Add him again. Lazard.
I don't believe Aaron Rodgers wants to go out this way, but I think the Jets should force him to go out this way. You can't play for us anymore.
We were talking about it on one of the shows from Lake Charles that, like, just going through the teams of, like, so Aaron Rodgers doesn't play for the Jets, but he wants to play in 2025. Like, what team is like, yep, we're going to improve our situation at quarterback with Aaron Rodgers? That is also a team that Aaron Rodgers would want to play for.
If there is a needle, if there is a something to thread, it's very small.
Like he would be better than what the Raiders are trotting out there. But, like, Aaron Rodgers won't play for the Raiders.
Why would he want to play for the Raiders?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very tough, very tough for Mr. Rodgers.
I'm not calling him Mr. Rodgers.
What?
That is reserved
Mr. Rodgers.
That's reserved for
I'm giving him respect.
That's reserved for a titan of children's broadcasting. Not this guy. Not the guy.
I think they're both. I grew up with both of them. Actually, I grew up with Aaron Rodgers more than Mr.
Rodgers is before your time. Not this guy who would rather take a sack than throw it on fourth down at the end of a game. Nah, I don't want the pick. I'm just going to hold this ball and get sacked. Why wouldn't you if you missed it in the final play for the Jets after Anthony Richardson led a touchdown drive to take the lead? Aaron Rodgers just took a sack. Didn't even want to get the ball up in the air. Just I don't want to throw a pick here.
Completion percentage. Yeah.
He's like a guy who doesn't throw up the 60-footer at the end of a quarter or a half. I don't know. I don't want to hurt my percentage. Sacks aren't on me. They're on the offensive line. Just put the ball in the air. And they lost. And the Colts stay within striking distance of the Texans. So Joe Douglas out, Saleh out. If the Jets are smart, they find a way to get Aaron Rodgers out of there. Actually, you know what? Clean break. They should cut him out like 4 weeks ago.
Just cut him.
Or at least say we're going to put him on IR.
Mm.
Put him on IR the last 4 weeks. Guarantee you're going to lose, although him playing probably means you're going to lose anyway. But guarantee it, and that's the clean break. Aaron, we're not having the speculation about whether you're coming back or not. You're done here.
Mm. It's Tim Boyle season. I know Tim Boyle doesn't actually play for the Jets.
But whoever.
Surely they can sign him. Surely he's available to be signed.
It's Tyrod Taylor season.
Oh, Tyrod Taylor. And Jordan Travis, third stringer. Oh.
Yeah, that's the season it is. And they'll be fine. They're going to lose games, which they should want to do. Maybe you get in on the Shador sweepstakes. If that's what you so choose, and hire Deion Sanders. Look at that,
boom!
I'm sure Woody Johnson would be all over that.
Oh, Woody Johnson seems like he would love
Deion as his head coach. So, Jets cleaning house, and the giant virus who started this all still around for now. We'll see how that goes. All right, misery index. Can we start with Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri just because it's funny?
Their playoff hopes come crashing down 1 week after
he said they were still in it.
That they still were in it,
and the way they got killed off after a great play by Luther Burden to give them the lead, they could not stop the great Lenora Sellers. You think I'm being sarcastic, but Aggie fans would agree with me. Lenora Sellers was big time in on that final drive, stood in the pocket, made some great throws, and South Carolina, despite their three losses, I think they still believe they're in the playoff chase.
Everyone
in the SEC does. I talked about it yesterday. Kirby Smart talking about, I don't know what they're looking at. This was after beating Tennessee. I don't know what they're looking at. Kirby, they're looking at you having two losses, and they can't put you ahead of Ole Miss and Alabama, who beat you, who they have at 10 and 11. That's the reason you were the last team out. You lost to two teams who they had to rank ahead of you. And you know what happens, Kirby, when you get to play SEC opponents who people think highly of? If you win one, you're back in it. So while Indiana doesn't have any margin for error, this is the team people are pointing to because Indiana has a terrible schedule. And you know what happens for Indiana? They have to be perfect. If they lose a game or they play a close game to the likes of a whatever you want to compare in the Big Ten to Kentucky, it hurts Indiana. They have to be perfect. SEC teams don't have to be perfect because of what people think about their conference. So while you're whining about where you stand, just know no matter where you are, you beat another SEC team, you get to rise up. I don't know why that's so hard for SEC people to understand, or even people talking about the SEC like they're being disrespected and they should have as many teams as they can. You get the margin for error. That's part of the deal of playing in the conference. You don't have to be like the other teams. Like in the ACC, if SMU loses in the ACC title game, they're not making it, despite having a great year. Part of it is their brand. Part of it is their schedule. And now, because of Miami's loss to Georgia Tech, they're in danger of, if they don't win their conference, not making it, even if they are a 10-2 team. Or in that case, if they lose the ACC title game, an 11-2 team. The other conferences don't have the margin for error. You do. Stop your whining. All right, my rant over.
LSU, their playoff hopes out. End barely. Just maybe, you know.
Maybe. Who knows what they do over the back over the last couple games. Maybe they get back in.
But they lost to
throw them on it.
A crappy
Florida team. Yeah, they're part of that misery index. They lost the game.
Pitt, anytime you give up a 50-yard touchdown to Cade Klubnik, you're on
running.
The misery index.
Yeah, a run.
You could have won, and you're still on the misery index.
Yeah, for that. It's embarrassing. Now, Cade Klubnik has, like, well, he did it to North Carolina State, too, so they've been pretty miserable this year, too. So, yeah, throw Pitt on there
as
well.
Do it against a good team. like Arkansas.
Exactly. We can throw BYU on it. BYU,
yes.
They lose a game to Kansas. Kansas has been scrappy all year, but not successful, but scrappy. They lose that game at home, and now they still control their own fate. They win out. They're going to be in the playoff. They win the rest of their conference games. They're going to be in the Big 12 title game, which likely will be against Colorado. And I don't know what the line will be, but they probably should be the underdog to Colorado if they see each other.
Yeah. I mean, everyone in the Big 12 is like 3.5-point favorite against each other.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I got one. Nebraska. Started 5-1. They are currently 5-5.
And they're back to being the Scott Frost version of Nebraska.
Yes, because all they do is lose
one-score
games.
Yes, they lost to USC. USC made a quarterback change, and it worked out enough to beat Nebraska. So we don't normally put teams who have lost that many games on it because we like to think about teams who have real aspirations. But Nebraska's trying to make a bowl, and Raiola has said, we're making a bowl.
Yeah.
He said that right after the loss. We'll see.
Yes.
We'll throw Tennessee on it. They lose a game, and now they're in real danger of not making the playoff. Tennessee the rest of the way after losing to Georgia by 2 touchdowns. And we'll have the CFP rankings tonight, so we'll see where they land. I'm sure it'll be Josh Heupel's time to bitch and whine about why they should still be in the playoff if they're the first team out. Who do they have? If I look at them the rest of the way, they don't have a lot. They've got the customary, hey, this team stinks, we need a break game to play. They got UTEP and a game at Vanderbilt, which isn't a lock for them.
Tough spot.
I know Texas didn't cover, so it's a tough spot. Understood.
Tough spot. That's a resume win if they get
there. Alabama lost in Vandy. I know. Tough spot. Vandy is 6-4, so not so much a resume win anymore.
Tough spot.
I've heard. You've told me several
Tavia.
Times.
Watch out.
Vandy has LSU this week.
Tough spot.
At LSU.
Death Valley? Are you kidding me? I'd like the committee to come down there to see what.
Thank you, Kirby. Appreciate you. Kirby, you didn't have to go to Death Valley this year, so you can't use that
it's
as
tough
your
place
reasoning.
To win.
I've been told. Thank you. I've been told how tough it is.
Now,
in the
Alabama
SEC.
Has no problem doing it, but it's.
Yeah,
it's
they didn't appear to have any trouble
tough
on Saturday. I've been told how tough it is to play in all these. I want people to come down here and look at this environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Kirby. Just win your games. And look, you won a game and you'll be fine. And now you're in line to play either A&M or Texas for the right to be the conference champion.
You know where else it's tough to play? Camp Randall. Wisconsin.
Well, you can't. Oh, or you're putting Wisconsin on the index or Oregon? Oregon won the game by three.
I'm putting Oregon on the.
You're putting them on it for winning? You can't. I know we don't have any rules, but why are they miserable? They're going to come out. They're going tough place to play, and we want
no,
a tough
no,
one.
No, no,
yes,
it's
they
a bad
are.
Place to play.
They're going to take that
that's
as
a bad. That's a bad win.
They're going to.
They should fall.
Sure,
honestly.
Sure. I know. I know you have your own agenda, but they're not going to look at it as being miserable. Sure, the
you
game was miserable.
5-5 team by three.
No, I understand the game itself at the time was miserable, slogging through a game against Wisconsin where you think you should beat them by more. But they're going to come out of that. Dan Lanning is going to sell it as, hey, tough environment. We found a way to win. This is what great teams do. No, great teams cover, Dan.
Yeah.
Not just win.
I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah. That's been said a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's our first won the game, and they're on the index.
Part of the reason is just we have so few teams that actually had something to play for and lost.
Well,
and
I know.
I just want to mention the closest, probably the closest.
Well, we did have two top 10 teams lose.
Yeah. But
and we mentioned them. Tennessee and BYU.
Tennessee, that's fine. That's brilliant. The SEC. That happens.
I know. Gosh. While you are leaning into the bit, which is fine, it's still frustrating to know real people think this way.
I mean, it's impossible to play an easy SEC schedule. Don't look at Texas' schedule.
I was like, wait a minute. It's not that impossible. The one team of any consequence you played, you got beat by. So it's not that impossible. And there's some.
I don't know. Arkansas is a good team.
No, they're not.
They beat
who did
Tennessee.
They beat? They
who
did.
Just be, or just almost who beat Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. Texas beat them.
So perhaps the SEC isn't that strong, and it's just whatever. It's just okay.
Or since Texas is just awesome.
Since all these teams can lose to anyone every week, apparently, by your theory. Hey, it's so strong because all these teams could lose at any given time, or it's not that. Good, and they can lose any team.
Any given Saturday, Dell.
That's right. And
it's like the NFL.
And a couple, yes, that's right. In a couple Saturdays, we'll have another any given Saturday as A&M and Texas play. But they have games before, and it's funny, Mike Elko was asked about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put that on the
right. Yeah, I was going to say,
we'll play that next. But first, okay, the setup is Mike Elko was asked about potentially being distracted because they've got Texas in two Saturdays from yesterday. That's when he was asked about it. Or maybe it was earlier today. Two Saturdays from today. But there's a game against Auburn. And how do you keep your team excited and motivated to play Auburn when Texas is coming to town in a couple weeks? And he gave an answer that would suggest maybe even the coach is distracted. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk to Mike. He wants to talk some college football. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Dale. So it's the time of year where people start complaining about fairness. If you're the NCAA and like selection committee and everything, are you more worried about being fair and including people like in Indiana or someone like that from a smaller conference? It's kind of, on fringe. Yes, they are. Maybe had a perfect season, but they don't play well. Are you more worried about like quality? I know SEC is whatever and that people will argue that it is the best or it's not the best or whatever, but if you have multiple SEC teams going up against each other in the playoffs, you will have massive draws, both on television and at the actual physical game. Like, do you think they're more worried about like the financial profitability of including certain teams, or do you think that's like what would you justify being fair or including teams because you know that it's going to draw more money? That was my question. Thanks.
Appreciate it. I think the SEC, and they're not being very vocal about it, is holding something over the committee's head that if you don't give us what we think are representative of our conference as far as invitations to the playoff, we are going to back out of this and we'll start our own invitational with the Big Ten. What that would mean for college football, probably a disaster if two conferences split off and decided this is who we're going to decide who the national champion is. Playing amongst each other. So I do think
that would help Indiana.
There would be some fear that could happen if you don't treat the SEC right. And I put that in quotes. But as far as if we lived in an honorable world, an ethical world, you just pick teams who you think are the best. No outside consideration. But I realize this is not the world we live in the real world or the college football world. There are considerations. You would just hope everyone gets in the room and goes, you know what? We look at the resume. We look at these teams. We look at how they've played and go, deserving, 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 beyond the automatic bids. Mm-hmm. but we don't live in that world. Although they tried to get away with that last year by they said Florida State wasn't good enough because they lost a quarterback. And you know what? Probably right. Now, Florida State went on to win the ACC after Jordan Travis got hurt. But you look at them as a team overall and how they played, they scrapped and clawed and scratched. And credit to their defense for hanging on. Now, Florida wasn't great, but Louisville's a pretty good offensive team, and they held them down.
And then they got left out.
They got left out.
They got wronged. And they've come back, and they've proven the committee wrong with how they performed against Georgia and how they performed this year.
I mean, obviously, yes. Jokes aside, which I don't mind taking shots at Florida State. It's part of the things I grew up on, taking shots at Florida State. But beyond that, because they're a different team, Jared Verse is in the NFL. Jordan Travis, obviously, with the Jets. And you've got Fisk, their other star defensive lineman, is with the Rams, too, so along with Verse. So they're a different team, and they have not found a way to even be respectable this year. But they tried. They said, hey, we're going to look at the teams and go, who's good enough to play? Who do we think is good? And Florida State wasn't one of those teams. But Florida State was also an ACC team. If that was an SEC team, would they have pulled that against, let's say, Alabama lost Jalen Milroe, although Alabama won their conference. In this example, Alabama won their conference, but they lost Jalen Milroe. And they said, you know what? Since last year there were no automatic bids, we got to keep Alabama out. They're not good enough. I know they just beat Georgia without. The problem is Florida State beat Louisville without their quarterback. Alabama would have beaten Georgia without the quarterback, and that would have given them justification. Once again, SEC would get the benefit of the doubt. So, I don't think it's a bad question to ask, and I think it's a viable concern if you're not a fan of an SEC team. One of us here isn't. You always have to be on the lookout for the SEC holding the hammer over the committee's head and going, "Don't mess with us, or we will take our influence and the interests for our conference away from you," and then see how you survive.
And as a Texas fan, that's just something that is so rare now. I'm not used to.
Texas is like, hey, you guys are just like us.
I'm not used to this.
We fit right in here.
Everyone breaking down the Texas strength schedule. Like, guys, it does not matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you say. If Texas, whether they make the title game because they lose, because they beat A&M, or they don't because they lose, you can pencil in Texas, maybe even for a home game.
Yeah. Well, last year when people were trying to, like, is Texas the one that drops out? I'm like, let me tell you what won't happen.
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
The question is if Texas or someone else will get screwed over, the answer is someone else.
Florida State,
congratulations, yeah, you're the someone
else. I know Florida State, you think you have a big brand, but not as big as Alabama and Texas. You haven't been good enough over the last 20 years to get that off.
Sorry. Texas hasn't been good enough the last 20 years to get that off.
No, they haven't, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And that's the point. It doesn't matter when it comes to them. So we'll get to Mike Elko, the head coach of a team trying to knock off Texas in a couple weeks, but he'll tell you Auburn matters more until you actually listen to him. We'll play that sound when we come back. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. You want to put some money down on the college football games coming up on Saturday? You can do that. Maybe you want to look at some NBA props or odds. You can do that too. The NFL on Thursday. That's something you should take a look at as well, because on Thursdays, it's risk-free Thursdays. So if you have a bet for the Thursday night game, wait for Thursday, put your bet in, and if you're wrong, it doesn't cost you anything, and if you're right, you win. And that can all be done at MyBookie. Just go to mybookie.ag, where you can bet on anything, anywhere, at any time, from college football to the NFL, to the NBA, to the NHL. College basketball is in full force. You can do that too. International soccer have games on all the time. We just finished up the international window, the US beat Jamaica. But we know you're going to have Champions League and Europa League and obviously the domestic leagues to look at. All there for you. Remember that promo code BET975. And if you sign up, they will match up to $1,000. You want to put $100 in, you get another $100 to spend. MyBookie is looking for you to have a chance to win. From the sports book to the live betting to the live casino, it's all there for you. Just go to mybookie.ag. And remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Mike Elko, entirely focused on Auburn. you can't even get him to talk about Texas, even if you ask him directly about it. Here's Mike Elko in his presser talking about the challenge of facing Auburn.
There's already so much talk about November 30th. You know, it was announced as a night game today. How do you deal with that with your guys and saying, hey, we still have something ahead of us at Auburn? Or is that even a big issue with your team?
I don't think it's an issue. I think when you're in the situation we're in, it's easy to focus on the task at hand. You know, I think, those big games earlier in the year, you know, maybe you look ahead. If we didn't have that stake, what's at stake? Maybe you would worry about it. I think our focus is single-handedly on Texas. I mean, on Auburn right now, and locked in on what we got to get done.
That's right. No attention being paid to the University of Texas. All about Auburn. Could be just a slip of the tongue because he was asked a question that involved Texas, or Auburn. Bulletin board material. The man ain't even considering you. You are a second thought when it comes to his schedule. Look. It would be just like the Aggies to go lose to Auburn. It would be. Not that they should. Not that I'm predicting it. But as far as the buildup, it would be just like them to lose to Auburn.
That'd suck. I'd hate that.
Would you?
Yeah. Oh, no, because the game needs to come back, or is coming back.
It's already back, yeah.
No, but for it to be as high stakes as possible. I don't want Auburn going out there losing.
You don't. Stop it. You don't think. Even as you get ready for the game, maybe you start to get excited on a Thursday. You don't think the Saturday to Wednesday, you making fun of the Aggies for losing to Auburn, wouldn't be great for you?
That'd be bad.
It'd be terrible, right? Terrible.
And Texas would still have a bad resume.
It doesn't help your resume if they lose. Yeah, I will say that.
Because if they lose, then they'll be like in the 20s, and they lose to Texas. They'll be out of the rankings, so Texas still has no ranked wins.
So
it would be very funny.
Yeah. And they would still make it.
But do... To be real here, because maybe I wasn't 100% real the last couple minutes.
Imagine that.
I do think it'd be very Aggies to lose to Auburn and then beat Texas. That'd somehow be very A&M and also very Texas.
So if they went 9-3 with the win over Texas,
they're in. Ask the committee. You come down here playing Kyle Field. See how you like it.
Or you go to Jordan
Harris. See how you like it, Condoleezza Rice.
Not Texas. I'm talking about A&M loses to Jordan. Loses in Jordan Harris. You know how difficult it is to play in Jordan Harris?
Yeah, they're into.
And then Auburn's in after beating A&M?
Yeah, A&M, Auburn, and Texas all in.
They all get in.
Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Alabama, all in.
All in.
Honestly, I liked what I saw from Arkansas on Saturday.
Play tough. Yeah, play tough.
They hung in there with the number three team in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I do.
If Indiana loses by Indiana, for your own sake,
don't get blown out by Ohio State.
Keep it within.
Yeah, keep
10.
It within.
Keep it within two.
Prove
touchdowns.
That you can compete against a team everybody thinks is good.
Be up at halftime. Because you're something.
You're not going to get the opportunity in the Big Ten title game if you lose Ohio State. Competitive. Indiana can suffer a loss if they're competitive. They probably will lose their chance at hosting a game because that's how they get treated. But at this point, danger for you, Indiana. Don't get your ass kicked.
Yes. Cover the spread. What's the spread?
I don't know what it is. But be in the game. Make it look like you belong. And you get the benefit of not playing in the Big Ten title game and maybe suffering an embarrassing loss. And taking an extra game off your plate and making the playoff and possibly getting a home game if you play close.
It's two touchdowns.
Within two touchdowns.
Yeah.
If you can play within two touchdowns, I think you're fine, Indiana. You go 11-1 in the regular season. Mm-hmm. That would mean three Big Ten teams make the playoff. Oh, four. Penn State's hanging around too.
Penn State, Indiana.
Or Oregon and Ohio State.
Oh, Oregon.
We forget all the time.
And they're number one. They.
Yeah.
They've played one like entertaining Ohio State game, and then Saturday, and other than that, they just kind of handle business.
Sure.
So it's easy to forget.
So there's a real chance we'll get what, five from the SEC, possibly four from the Big Ten,
and then one and one.
A one from the ACC and the Big 12, and then you got the Boise State possibly. That music means
does that add up?
I don't know. I'm just doing off. There might be a spot for one more. Yeah, I don't remember.
That adds up.
Okay. Just give the SEC 8 so we don't have to worry about math.
Thank you. I've been saying that for 3 months now.
Understood. Since you became a member of the conference. I understand. We're done. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I did want to get to the John Stamos story. The story is he put on a bald cap to show solidarity with his Full House team co-star Dave Coulier, who has cancer, had to shave his head. John Stamos didn't shave his head. He just put on a bald cap and took pictures. That's foul. Don't take pictures with me if you're going to put on a bald cap. Well, I got to shave my head dealing with cancer. He ain't a real one. That's what I just figured out. He doesn't dominate like Alpi does. But since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
That's what I do. Dominate into pain.
Not yesterday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.